And we are here now with Martha Tolana from Zimbabwe, who was participating in the plenary of this morning and who will then want to share with all our listeners what was dialogued in this panel in the morning. Martha?
Thank you. The plenary was around the issues of the power of movements and the context which we are working in. And the context that it was more looking at the difficult context. We had a judge from Iran, a female judge from Iran. We had one woman, Meena Seshu, who was working with sex workers in India. And we had Natasha, who was working with the ICTs in South Africa. And we also had Nani from Indonesia. She's working with female-headed households. And then myself with the network of Zimbabwean Positive Women. There was also Vanda from Poland, working around organizing, looking at how the fundamentalisms are affecting the women's rights movement and feminist movement in Poland. Now we're looking at the difficult circumstances that we are all working around. For me, it was around issues of HIV positive women in Zimbabwe and in the region, Southern African region. So Johanna from Oxfam, Canada, was moderating the session, and she took us through a dialogue in which we discussed the different contexts, the environments that we are working in, and how we have organized in terms of making sure that despite the difficulties, despite the difficult circumstances, the repression, fundamentalisms, we are still able to mobilize women around feminism, around issues to assert their rights and, you know, assert their, for them to reclaim, women reclaiming their space.
So can you tell us more, like, what was your position on what are the difficulties that you're finding in organizing and around women that are positive?
Yeah, in Zimbabwe there are issues around the political situation makes it very difficult to organize, because now it's the organizations that have been working with HIV positive people around HIV and AIDS. So people who run those organizations have been intimidated by the current political situation, and people seem to be immobilized by fear. But then in the end, for the positive women, it has been, we cannot wait for these organizations until they wait, while they wait for the situation to improve, because we are living with HIV and we are facing the challenges, and we need to continue to mobilize, to work around the issues of our rights on access to treatment, access to basic foodstuffs, access to one's own cash, which is locked up in the bank. There are a lot of issues, access to general health. Right now there's a cholera outbreak in Zimbabwe, even in the capital city, which is, it seems all systems have broken down. And it is very difficult for HIV-positive women. The other issue is that the political situation has meant that a lot of the systems have made people fearful, have made systems break down, and made things, the transport system, everything that we can think of around moving around. The simple things like getting to the clinic, you find that the money that you're allowed to get from the bank will get you to the clinic, but you won't be able to pay the consultation fee. There's no social, there's no health support safety net in Zimbabwe, so you have to pay for everything. You get to the clinic, you can't pay for the consultation fee. You can't then buy food. You can't get back home because the money that you are left with after getting to the clinic is not enough. So just to simplify what the challenges are like, it's one example that I thought I could use.
Could you please tell the listeners what is the, you know, very briefly, what is the political situation in Zimbabwe, because maybe some of our listeners don't know what has happened in the last few months.
Okay, we had a general election on the 29th of March, for which the results were not announced, and they took a long time to announce the results and said that there had to be a rerun of the presidential because they said there had been some anomalies. But for people, it had been because SADC had worked around freeing the space and making sure that there's freedom of association and movement. It was because people were really showing where their support lay and they could vote freely. So basically, people had voted for the opposition party. So in the end, they decided that there was going to be a rerun of the election on the 27th of June. So that period between the March 29 and 27th of June, we did not have any, there was sort of a ban, a suspension of activities of aid service organized, of all NGOs, in fact, were involved in humanitarian assistance, which meant that a lot of people went into suffering. But then also the militias went from the ruling party. They went into the villages and were targeting those people whom they knew supported the opposition and were beating them up. Women got raped for supporting the wrong party. And then there was also retaliation as well from the opposition party, and they ended up doing the same thing that the ruling party militias were doing. But this meant that in the end it was women who suffered, women and children suffered a lot from this situation. And it also meant that there was now the economic situation was negatively impacted, hyperinflation, flight of businesses from the environment, and so there was no longer easy to get basic. It was difficult anyway, but it became more and more difficult to get basic foodstuffs. And even up to now, even when you have the money in your pocket, you may find it difficult to even get a loaf of bread. So that's how the political situation is impacted. But now what my point while in that dialogue was that we sort of tried to separate the politics and the way we live, but I think this situation has showed us that everything around us, it's actually political, the way we live, and we need to take an active role in defining what the space, and you know, negotiating for what space do we have in the politics, how do we support the women, how do we even bring feminism. Because I did mention one of the freedom fighters in the liberation struggle for Zimbabwe, Margaret Dongo, who is actually in the forum, which is attending the forum. And Margaret Dongo, as a freedom fighter, fought as equals, like other women who were fighting as equals with men, with guerrillas in the bush to fight for the independence of Zimbabwe. But when independence came, it became obvious that women were being sidelined as the men took up their, you know, the lucrative positions in politics. And Margaret Dongo stood up to the men to challenge the patriarchy. She made a lot of noise. She's a small woman, but she did make, you know, a big impact. But unfortunately, she didn't have the support of the women's movement. And this is, now we are learning from the mistakes that we made by keeping quiet.
And going back to the women who are living with HIV/AIDS, why aren't there no free clinics? You have to pay for the...
You have to pay. In many ways, they say there's free treatment, but only for a few people, because you have to pay heavily for the transport, because there's no public transport system that functions. So you are really getting onto private taxis, which cost a lot, and that's a big barrier to access to treatment. And when you get there, while they say the ARVs are free, but you have to pay a consultation fee before you get to that spot where you get because you have to go through a process before you get to the point where you get there. So there's actually not free, even though last year the minister declared that there should be free, it should be free consultation for people living with HIV, but it's not really working that way, because the service providers say we need money, we need to run the clinic, and we can't just give free services when there's no grant from the government.
Mm. Mm-hmm. See, those are the things that we need to know. You know, like the details are very interesting because then you know where your solidarity can be. So, you know, the transport is something you don't think about when you're thinking about people living with HIV. You know, you think about the clinics, you think about the retrovirus, but you never think, how do people get to there and how do people...
Yes, and issues like recently people have started saying we are going to stop the ARVs, even those who are able to get them, because it's pointless when I cannot get the nutrition, I can't get the basic food. So how can I continue on this medication without, you know, without the supporting nutritional base?
Food.
Yeah. Yeah, so
the choice of food or
the medicine, yes. Yeah. So it's a very challenging situation. And also last night I was reading that they've also been some... SADC has been facilitating a dialogue between the opposition party and the ruling party to make them to have this power sharing, but they signed a memorandum of understanding in September, but now yesterday the opposition movement, you know, pulled out of the deal and said it's not going to be in the interest of the people, it's not going to work for the people. So it means there can be a longer time of sustained struggles for the people of Zimbabwe, and particularly people living with HIV, particularly people who are living in rural areas, and particularly women who are mostly left with the responsibility of feeding the family, looking after the children in the home. But also what I found is that in the region, the impacts of this, it cannot just be a Zimbabwean, you know, solution for Zimbabweans, because it's already impacting in the region, around the countries around Zimbabwe, because a lot of skilled workers have moved to... A lot of skilled workers have moved to the neighboring countries for the jobs and where they can, where they are able to feed their own children, so that they are able to feed their families. So with this movement, it means... there's a lot of pressure as well with the more foreigners in the neighboring countries, and most of the foreigners are from Zimbabwe. And we saw earlier this year that there were actually xenophobic attacks in South Africa against foreigners. But I'm sure the pressure was actually coming from a lot more Zimbabweans, you know, fleeing the economic and political situation in Zimbabwe.
So thank you very much, Martha, because I think there's a line of women to be interviewed.
Okay, thank you very much.
But I know that you're a fantastic activist for women all over the world, because your issues are all our issues. So thank you for your work, and good luck.
Thank you.